Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Welcome in. It is Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's, an extended version as we broadcast live from the 1250 AM 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. No Rich Eisen today. He will be back tomorrow, but obviously going live and local up until 5 p.m. Seemed like the right decision as we mourn and pay tribute to the passing of Bob Uecker, Brewers play-by-play announcer. Earlier today, Hall of Famer, legend. I don't think you could have enough praiseworthy words for what he was able to accomplish in his lifetime. Again, doing play-by-play at 90 years old. Whew. I mean, Andrew Wagner, will he still be covering the Brewers at 90 years old? I'm not quite sure. He's joining us now. Covers the Brewers for Forbes, joined us twice a week during Wisconsin Sports Daily throughout the summertime. Very appreciative of him of that. I know we talked earlier. You were torn up about this. Your thoughts, memories, and what you can share with us, Drew.
It's heartbreaking, Sparky. You know, it's one of my really good friends, AJ Biapour from CBS 58. We were just texting back and forth, and he found the words that I couldn't. As I was trying to finish off this obituary, it was, you know, Uecker was an entire city's relative. And that's really true. I mean, you think about it, whether you're a Brewers fan or not, you knew Bob Uecker, whether it was from Mr. Belvedere, whether it was from Major League, whether it was from, you know, all of his appearances on the Johnny Carson show, which I highly suggest tonight, as we all go and watch Major League and Mr. Belvedere and old Brewers clips on YouTube, go watch his work with Johnny Carson, because you will never see a more natural performer than you.
And he was so deadpan the whole time, acting so serious, and Johnny Carson's like under his desk laughing in a majority of them.
Oh, absolutely. It reminds me of something that, you know, I'm a huge fan of Nick Offerman, both personally and professionally. And he always says, I'm not a comedian, I'm a humorist. It kind of along the lines of Will Rogers and stuff like that. And most people don't understand the difference. And Bob Uecker was not a comedian. He was a humorist. Like, he told stories about his everyday life in such a hilarious way. It was just a perfect delivery. But, no, it's heartbreaking, Steve. Like, you and I, we grew up here, okay? We both listened to him, and me more so than you, because I'm there every day, and I'm not saying that in my normal mocking fashion. But, like, we grew up with him. We then grew up and worked alongside him. And then people say it's a colleague, it's a coworker. And in the case of myself and Rosiak and McKelvey, who've been there 20 years, to say this man that we grew up with is a friend is just... It's hard to wrap your mind around that. Like, you get kind of, and you know me, I'm glum and bitter or whatever, like, and I'm nonsensical about going to the ballpark. Like, it's just a job. But being able to sit down and shoot the bull with Bob Uecker for 10 minutes every day is the most incredible part of my job. And I never once wanted to take that for granted, and I hope I never did, because that part of it never gets sold. You know, Robin Yount was my hero as a player growing up. I've seen him, I've interviewed him, fine, whatever, great. But the fact that Bob Uecker called me by name or would message me, I mean, how the hell lucky is a guy like this that grew up in Milwaukee, had no athletic ability whatsoever, stumbled into this job, and became friends with his childhood idol. Like, that's a story in and of itself.
So, for those that don't know, when did you start covering the Brewers? Because I told everybody before you came on, you were our first insider when we started the station in 2005. And you were breaking stories left and right back in the day. I believe the Junior Spivey trade, I want to say you broke, and a couple other ones. So when did you start covering them? Were you covering them before us?
I was covering before you, my first credential was 97 when I was an agate clerk at the Journal Sentinel. I get to go to a couple of games and shag quotes for Olson and Hod. And then I had done it for the Post Crescent for a while. And then I moved down to Milwaukee in, I want to say, 02 was my first full season. Yeah, I think 02 was my first full season on the beat.
So when do you think that you knew that there was a, quote, friendship that was forming between you and Uke? Like, did it take a few years before he warmed up to you a little bit and realized you weren't going anywhere? Or how did that process work?
Yeah, it took a little while, but it kind of started. I was sitting at the table in the dining room talking with Johnny Logan one day. And for those who don't know, Johnny Logan was a longtime incredible shortstop for the Milwaukee Braves. Yes. The dude crushed home runs, crushed opposing players with a sweet right hook. Like, the dude was your prototypical 1950s ball player. He was the Milwaukee icon before Robin Yount, and then became a scout for the Brewers, and obviously was good friends with Uke. And when I was a kid, I had wanted a Milwaukee or an Atlanta Braves hat because the Braves were really good and the Brewers stunk. And my dad said, absolutely not. Hell no. No way. I didn't understand why he was so against it. Bought me a Milwaukee Braves hat and the Milwaukee Braves book, and I became a huge fan of the old Milwaukee Braves. So I'm talking about this with Logan one day, and Uecker comes walking by, and Logan's like, yo, Bob, this little kid here fancies himself a Milwaukee Braves fan. And Uke sits down and starts grilling me, and I'm like, answering all his questions, like, I'm impressed. So, like, it started from there. And then, you know, he'd come down to the dugout or whatever on the field before games. We'd shoot the bull. And one day he was talking about a house that he grew up in and how he went to Blaine School, which was an old, like, middle school, elementary school, two blocks from where I live. I'm like, that was right down the street from me. He's like, what do you... Turns out it was two blocks from him too. So we basically lived in the same neighborhood. That's when it took off. And I was talking with Todd Rosiak about this. I said, you know, we were kind of his favorites because we talked to him every day, but we were never fanboys. It was always, you know, when I had questions for him, it was always like, what was it like growing up in Milwaukee and like playing for the Braves who were, you know, cult heroes? I mean, people don't understand the reception the Braves got when they moved to Milwaukee. You know, they conquered the world by coming here. And what was Johnny Carson like? Because I was a huge Johnny Carson
fan. Sure.
So we would have these conversations, and it wasn't me geeking out because you were Harry Doyle. Like, I was just curious about this guy's life experiences. And I told him countless times, so the thing that I respect the most about you is the fact that for all this amazing stuff that you have done, and let's face it, you look at his resume, it's pretty damn impressive. The guy could have gone on to national whatever and never looked back.
He had a chance, I believe, at the Yankees, and he turned him down.
Yeah. He never lost the fact that Milwaukee was his hometown. He never turned his back. Like, he was Milwaukee's hero. Like, he was a Milwaukee guy through and through. And I think that respect is kind of what fostered a friendship. And it's not about me. It's not about you're a journalist. You're supposed to report on that. But I consider myself lucky and blessed that I can call this guy a friend. You know, that's, again, for a kid that grew up a mile from the ballpark, you know, listening to games on the radio in his backyard with his dad, Man, that's awesome. I got lucky, man.
Talking with Andrew Wagner of Forbes Sports, covers the Milwaukee Brewers, joined us a couple of times a week throughout the season on Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's. He joins us here in our extended version of the same show, going up until 5 o'clock tonight. Pat Hughes coming up at 2:40. Looking forward to that. Matt Pauly, who did postgame on the Brewers Network for a number of years, he joins us coming up at 3:30. So looking forward to having more people on as we go throughout the afternoon to talk about Bob Uecker. Talk about his interaction with players and what you witnessed.
You know, we wrote a lot. We talked a lot about how the players considered him one of them. And people think, oh, you're just saying that they're just being nice. No. The players consider him their 27th man on the roster. I mean, they held off their clinch celebration for him to get down there. They didn't pop a single cork until Uecker made his way down for the press box. His interaction with players is spectacular. I mean, him and Carlos Gomez, I still laugh thinking about their special handshake. And I mean, if you saw the post-game interview with Christian Yelich after the Mets loss and how emotional he was, and now I think we know why. You could tell that there was a special connection. He was one of them. He was one of them. And he was the perfect remedy, too. When those guys were in a funk, you know, Uke was going to go down there and work the room. And, you know, it's gonna be hard, especially for the guys like Yelich, who've been around a long time and know him. Like, it's going to sting for a while.
See, and that's the thing. I can't – when I heard the news that he passed away, I cannot shake – the last time these guys were all together. Do you remember? And Yelich and him had that long conversation, and Yelich walked away crying. And everybody was trying to figure out what was going on. And I was surmising on the radio. I was like, probably told him he's done. He's going to retire, and that's enough, and we're done. So I don't know. Still don't know what that was that had Yelich in tears. But whatever it was a very emotional moment, and you knew something was coming, I think, at that point.
Yeah. Listen, I hate to say this. You know, you always have a hunch going into the off season. It's like that when anyone gets up there in age. You know, you leave a family gathering, and then your 90-year-old grandmother is there, and you make sure that you go out of your way to say something because you just don't know. And not saying any of us knew anything, but we always try to make sure that we say something because you don't ever know. And this time, for whatever reason, he felt like, well, maybe just in case, you know, I'm going to go shake this guy's hand and say thank you and have a good off season. And sometimes you just get a hunch and it's a bad one. And here we are.
Talking with Andrew Wagner, covers the Brewers for Forbes Sports, as he joins us here on Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's, an extended version in place of Rich Eisen today. Have no fear. The Rich Eisen show will be back tomorrow. But Bob Uecker passes away. You know, local becomes far more important. With all due respect to everybody else. Do you have a favorite call of Uecker's?
Easter Sunday, 87.
Yep. Deer and Swaim home runs.
The Deer and Swaim home runs. The final game in 08 with CC and Braun.
What, Yount's 3000?
Yount's 3000, of course. And I really like the call from the game 163. Against the Cubs. I mean, there's just so many of them. I mean, here's the downside of the job is you don't get to hear it as much anymore, you know, because you're in the stadium and you're not really listening to the broadcast. That's kind of the downside of being at the ballpark every day. And the year that I took off in 2023, one of the joys that I had was like being able to sit in the backyard with a cigar and a glass of whiskey by my quasi-legal backyard fire and listen to Bob call games again, you know, because you do it for 20 years, you kind of forget. There's so many great calls, so many great stories. In fact, one of my friends just texted me to tell me to tell one of them. So maybe we'll get to that one yet. But yeah, Bob was something else.
When you saw Uke's interaction at the ballpark or on the road, that had to be something else too, because I remember being younger and waiting for him to come out of a hotel when he was on the road trying to get an autograph or a picture taken or whatever the case may be, and there were people everywhere lined up. And that's back when Vasgersian was hot, so everybody was waiting there for Vasgersian and Uecker as much as they were waiting there for the players.
You know, I heard people say, oh, I've met Bob, he's really mean. I'm like, yeah, well, if you've got 10,000 people everywhere you go screaming in your face just a bit outside, yeah, you're going to be a little annoyed by it. But that man is gracious beyond belief. I've never seen him big time anybody. I've never seen him, you know, call anybody on the carpet. He's just a good guy. I mean, he's always been a good guy from what I've seen, and he's always been a good guy to me. So, no, you're right. And he was the guy that we waited for. And people wonder why Uecker was such a big deal in Milwaukee. Well, for a generation, he was all we had. You know, he bridged the gap. And most of you and I, we knew the 82 Brewers, like, but we were still pretty damn young. He bridged that gap from, you know, 83 to 03, 05, when they started to get good again, when we had nothing else to root for. Like, he's why we tuned in. He's why we kept watching. Like, sure as hell weren't watching for Davey Lopes.
No, we were not watching for Davey Lopes. Absolutely, we're not watching for Davey Lopes. No question about that. Drew, what's the story that you were going to tell?
Well, late in the season, we were still, I don't even know how it came up. Oh, I know how it came up. Like, someone ripped a fart walking past Uecker, and it was me, Uecker, McKelvey, and somebody else, and someone walked by and just tore one. We all start laughing, and Uecker made a comment like, hope no one has a match, or no one light a cigarette. And Yelich didn't know what he was talking about, and Uecker starts talking about lighting farts on fire.
Oh my God.
And then the story involves him, Mickey Mantle, and Cleet Boyer having a conversation in a New York nightclub about lighting farts. And Cleet Boyer did not believe this is possible. So Uecker tells the story how they got a little liquored up. They went back to Mickey's place.
Oh, my God.
And Cleet Boyer says, all right, we're going to try this. And Euchre's like, all right, well, drop your pants, put a towel there. He's like, I don't need a towel. And Cleet Boyer, They light the lighter. Cleet Boyer rips one and ends up needing medical care.
Oh, my God. Well,
yeah. And everyone's laughing their asses off at this. And McKelvey and I are just beside himself. And, like, I've done this, so I know exactly what he's talking about. I wouldn't more than my fair share in the years. And Bob and I are just yucking it all over this. And then more people keep coming by. I think Sophia was there, too, at one point. So he tells the story again, and he tells the story again. And we're coming up on these guys got to get out there for starting lineups, and Bob is still telling the story. And every time he tells it, it's exactly the same. Like, and we're just dying. But on this very sad day, the thing that I'm taking today is Bob Uecker and me, a couple of writers, Christian Yelich, and every player that walked by, Bob telling all of us about how they sent Cleet Boyer to the hospital because they burned his ass trying to light a fart on fire with Mickey freaking Mantle. Like, there's peak Bob Uecker. There's peak Bob Uecker. And then for the rest of the season, every time he saw me, he's like, Wags, you got a lighter? Yeah, I got one right here. We're good to go.
Oh, my God. That is so funny. Yeah. I got to say, I've heard of lighting farts on fire. I didn't realize that people actually fell for this thing. I didn't realize people actually bought into it. Now, I mean, I'm sure you know people that would probably buy into it, right? I mean, you and I know Tim Shea.
I've
we
done
know
it.
You and I know I've Tim Shea. It. Tim Shea would try that in a heartbeat. No question.
Yeah. I mean, I don't recommend doing it bare ass. That's for sure. Unless you have a towel there, which Bob recommended. But yeah, I've done it.
Oh, my God.
I think it's a rite of passage in manhood, seeing flames coming out of your rear end.
It's crazy. Oh, my God. Andrew Wagner.
I've never done it with a Hall of Famer, but, you know.
I've never done it. I've never thought about doing it, but you made me laugh, and that was amazing. And I'm sure you made a lot of other people laugh.
We all need a laugh today. We all need a laugh today. Two things I want to say before I hire. One, I think it's awesome that you are extending the show today because, you know, I always say that sports radio is like therapy, and today we all need a little bit of therapy. So I think it's awesome that you're giving the fans a chance to come on and share their stories because we need it today. And two, I want to thank one of your listeners, Tom Everson and his wife, Elle, because I'm supposed to be installing their cabinets right now, and I got a little tied up calling with all of this. So, you know, thanks, Tom and Elle.
Wait, they're a listener, and they have you installing their cabinets?
Yeah.
Wow. All right, then.
Yeah.
Well, that worked out well for you, then. He's a heck of a carpenter, I'm just telling you. If y'all need some carpenter work done, man, Andrew Wagner's got you. Custom everything. He's on it and does a great job. All right, buddy. Thank you so much. Pitchers and catchers report in a month. That's going to be weird, too. Like, the whole season's just going to be weird, if we're being honest, right? Like, the entire season is going to be off.
Huge void. This is a huge void, and there's no way to replace a guy like that. And, yeah, it's going to be a tough year. And hopefully, you know, we've heard guys saying it last year, win it for Bob. Well, maybe go out and win it for Bob.
Yep, that would be amazing. Very good. Thank you so much, Andrew Wagner. I appreciate you.
Take care.